Accession number 31436, Mr. Fred Cutmore, Real Six. Now, we're talking about your time out in Japan. Anything else you remember about your time out there?
Well, I went to many places, David. Kyuri, Kobe, Sasebo, Hiroshima, Nagasaki.
Visits ashore, because they're not ports, are they?
No. Tokyo, we went up to Tokyo. What was that place? Yokohama. We used to catch a train and go up there. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where they dropped the atom bomb.
What do you think of that?
There was nothing there. It was all wooden shacks then. They've done the old bars and brothels and back shanties.
So what's next then?
What's next? As regards of what?
Well, what happened next then?
Well, then after we finished out there, we came home. I think it was to Birmingham that relieved us. HMS Birmingham. And I said that we've been out there 2 years then, I think it was.
So a lot of it was just routine, not a lot happened.
As regards to what?
Well, we've dealt with it all in half an hour. That's all you remember about, not much happened then.
What happened to everything was that he used to bombard a lot and shell.
It was routine things. You'd do it.
You do it naturally. And that was what patrols was about. You had mine lookout. That was another thing you had when we first went up there.
Tell me about that then. Did you do that?
Yeah, you went up in a crow's nest. You had a crow's nest on her then, but she ain't got one now. And you had a crow's nest, and you went up the crow's nest, and you was only up there allowed up there half hour because it was so cold. And you went up there and sat in the crow's nest and looked for mines. And you had a chap on the forecastle lead looking for mines because the Chinese used to float them down. And we also used to do landing parties.
Tell us about the landing parties then.
It was all Royal Marines. What do they call them now? SAS.
Royal Marines, yeah.
That was SAS, these blokes. Lieutenant Colonel Drysdale, his name was. And they used to go ashore, but they wouldn't have nothing to do with you. They stopped in the waist. We used to put them in a little rubber boat, and they used to go ashore, and we didn't see them, and the next time we pick them up. And that's one of our Royal Marines got killed. Or two of them got killed. They went ashore with them one night. Sergeant James and Corporal Hamill. They went ashore with them one night and they didn't come back no more. And they announced it that Corporal Hamill and Sergeant James had been killed. But, everything used to go on. We picked crash pilots up out of the water. The Yanks. It was mostly old Yanks. The aircraft they had was all the checkerboard squadron and flying tigers. And you see the films and you watch it. We never took no notice of it in the end. You just didn't take no notice. Oh, it's typical British. Like the Blitz, you just got used to the damn thing.
Well, tell us about the trip back home. Was that a good voyage or?
Oh, yeah, well, we come back the same way. Went into Singapore, and in Singapore down to Aden. Aden through the Suez to Port Said, Malta, Gibraltar, and home. Back to Chatham. And when you've been away a couple of years, it's a marvellous thing coming up the channel. When you see the lights ashore, cool, it's fabulous.
Was there any sort of reception for you when you got back?
The tea was packed with all the people, like the people that had families on there. Oh, it was solid. My mum and dad was there. Oh, my brother-in-law and his wife. My brother, my sister, my mum and dad, and my brother-in-law. And he was ex-Metlo, he'd been in during the war, and they come down here to pick me up. It was packed on the quay, it was packed.
So what happened when you got back then?
When I got back? Oh, well, we had our leave. I think we got 112 days leave or something. I can't remember now.
Now, what'd you do with that? That's a long time. That's over 3 months.
Yeah, that's right. You did.
So what did you do?
Well, see, what it was, if you didn't get no embarkation leave before you went away in them days, you got that carried on, because you was allowed 14 days embarkation leave. And then, if you didn't get it 14 days, you still, all them months and weeks used to count up. So when you come back, you're 112.
So what did you do with yours?
When I got drunk, met all my old mates, see a few people I knew, and I lived in that corner house, and they're just up here on the end of this block.
Now, what was it? Had you left the ship?
No, I hadn't. Eventually, when I got back to the ship, I got a draft kit then off the ship, and I got sent into the depot.
Now, which depot? Chatham?
Yeah, Johnny Chatham. Yeah, it was always Chatham.
Is that Pembroke Barracks?
Yeah. And I was put in the barrack guard, what they call the barrack guard, because being a gunnery rate. And then I had to go through for LR2 while I was in depot.
Well, tell us about the barrack guard duties first. What were barrack guard duties?
Well, you lived apart from all the Matlows, if you understand the meaning. And if you was barrack guard, you wore a work belt and a white gaiters and an armband. You was police, like, you were the police of the barracks. I hated it, like.
Why?
Well, I didn't like. What, you can't tell Matos what to do. And, I mean, mind you, with him, but by then, I mean, I've done a few years and I've. I still didn't like the job, but then it all come round, and it goes on. All I wanted to do was get out of the depot, go on a ship and get out, but I got put in the...
Now, hang on, tell me about the gunnery course then. What was that like? Because you did a gunnery course there as
well. Yeah, I done an LR2 course.
And what was that like?
Well, it was the same as what I've done when I've tried like that, but this was all foresight, and you had to sight things up, and it was a different kind of thing. Like it was.
So what were you going to be, a layer or? You
no, I was a trainer still.
So it's just an advanced gunnery course.
Yeah, and I got made up LR2. Then I never was on a gun no more. I was always up in the director. I was never on a gun no more. I was always up in the director. And I've done the same job in the directors I did in the turret.
Hang on, we'll come to that. So, tell us about getting drafted. When did you were in Pembroke from what, 51 to 52? Like Chatham?
Must have done. No, 52 onwards.
52 onwards, right.
And then, I don't know what, we got, I was in that, what they call it. When the old Queen died, Queen Mary. I was in her funeral. We formed a guard in the depot, and we had to go into London to follow her about when she died, old Queen Mary. You had to train like a slope and do all that. And I was in that, and then the cavalry officer, the cavalry officer, he knew me, that's it, Ferner. And then he said to me, he said, I've got another job for you, Mr. Cutmore. I said, what's that? He said, the cenotaph. I said, don't want to know. He said, what? I said, I'm fed up with this. I said, well, I want to go on a bloody ship. I don't want to be here. He said, well, you've still got to go. He said, he said, you won't send your cenotaph. You'll be for the Queen's coronation then. Oh, my God, I thought, Jesus, what? So we stuck in there and we was marching round and round Westmoreland Airfield. I don't know how many miles we'd done.
What, getting ready? Or?
Yeah, for the Queen's coronation. It was 1953. And we was going round and round and round the perimeter. And you're all marching big line across the place. There were so many, it was all Chatham, like. You had a rifle and a bayonet and one thing and another. Oh, my God, I thought, Jesus, let me get out of this. But I couldn't. Anyway, eventually we'd done the coronation. When the Queen got, when she got in the coronation, she got there. Then I come back to the depot, and then that's when he said, oh, yes, that's right, he said to me, got another job there, Cutmore. He said, would you like that job? What's this? He said, would you like to do the cenotaph? I said, you asked me once. I said, no. I said, I don't want it. I said, I don't want no more. I said, can I please go? All right, he said, I'll see what I can do. So I went down to, my name was Pipe, that was right. I was seeing a couple more reports of the drill shed. Drafting office in the drill shed. I went down there. He said, you've got a draft kit. I said, where's this? He said, HMS Jamaica. Oh, lovely. I said, I'll have that. I didn't know she was in bleeping mothballs though when we got down to Portsmouth.
She was in the reserve fleet.
She was in the reserve fleet.
At Portsmouth.
At Portsmouth.
So what? You went there in what, 53? Late 53?
Yeah.
Now, tell me what HMS Jamaica was.
Crew, that's the same as the belt was. But I was in the director on that. But before I tell you that, they took us out, marched us out of Chatham Depot into the dockyard, put us in a train with a bag mill, a sandwich, an apple and one thing and another. And we couldn't get out the door. There was all them carriages that had no corridors. And we went from Chatham Depot to Portsmouth, like that. They locked all the doors. And it pulled right up alongside the Jamaica. She was alongside. They took most of the stuff off her then, like the, what they call it, oh, I don't know, when they put it in reserve, but they took most of it off by then. The dockyard mate, he said, anyway. And we was a skeleton crew, and how many was on there? I think it was about 20 of us or 30, I think it was all.
So what's the job of a skeleton crew? What are you there to do?
Well, we was there to take them out of mothballs, really. Because all the guns were still thick grease and everything, and you had to get all that grease off them. I didn't, but some of them did. And I was the bosun's party. So all I had to do was wires and ropes and... And then I was a badgeman, like one badgeman.
What does that mean?
Well, I've done 4 years, kind of thing.
So a long service badge?
Yeah. So I had that, and a LR2's badge and that. when I get aboard, they're all young uns, like they're all younger than me then. I'm an old boy and they're all young, and I was only 26. But anyway, that's what happened. Then we went to Tromso, Trondheim.
So did you get a full crew aboard then?
Yeah, eventually it did. I can't remember that skipper's name. I can't remember his name. I was always in a bosun's party, so I never knew much of them.
So, did you joined her where she was getting, coming, she was being recommissioned, was she?
Yeah, she recommissioned.
So she wasn't in the reserve fleet anymore?
No. I can't remember his name, that skipper. Can't remember for the life of me.
Now, so what were your duties in there? You were in the transmitting station, were you?
What was there? No, I was up in the director.
Director, well, tell us about that.
Well, it's the same thing as a gun, but you had the telescopes, and I sighted the target through my telescopes, and you had a layer and a trainer and a gunnery officer in there, plus a communications number. It was right above the bridge, and it's still, well, they're still on there today, the built house is still there. It's right above the bridge it was, and you was in a director. And I directed the guns on a target and one thing or another.
How?
Pardon?
How?
Exactly the same as you did in the turret. You
with the pointers?
Yeah. You trained, no, I had my telescope, then you didn't use your pointers. Mine telescopes, when I picked up a target, that went back down to the transmission station. Transmission station sent it to the turret. We used to have a gyro in there, about that big it was, in a box. And it's, you remember when you was a kid, you see them, when you had a bit of string and you pulled it, and a gyro stood up, spun and it stood up. Well, that's how this site was. It used to lay down, this little gyro, it was about that long. I used to press the button, and I could see it start, and then it gradually spin, till it come up right level. And then my sight was clearing. I had a line going that way, and the layer had a line going that way. So I used to keep this line, a green line it was, in line with the upper deck of the other ship. And then I was on the target. It was a bit different, but it was easy. You didn't hear no noise or nothing because you was right up the top. And, what was it that called? Oh, the film, The Battle of the River Plate. I was in that one.
Tell us about that.
Eh?
In what? Tell us about it then. Why were you in it? What happened?
Why was you in it? We've got all of it, I suppose. I don't know. It's more hierarchy than that. Captains and one thing and another.
What I mean is, were they filming your ship? What was happening?
Well, we had to fire the guns at some imaginary target. Actually, it was American cruiser that took the part of Grass Bay. And we opened up and we had to fire the stern of it. The full size. But in the film, I don't know what happened. All I'd done was trained on it and tried to see that it was in the stern. I see the weight and you open fire. You fire a couple of broadsides and then, it, like, you got check. And you stop firing and then they take another shot about. So, and it went on like that. We always had to leave mortar. In the early hours of the morning when the light was right for them to take the film.
So they did it in the Mediterranean then?
Yeah. Oh, it was all done in the Med. Ebsas. The original... cool, what was it? One of the original ships that was in the battle. Not the Achilles. Was it the Achilles?
Ajax?
No, it wasn't Ajax.
Exeter?
No, Exeter had gone down. It went down in sleepers. Must have been the
Achilles.
Achilles. And the Indians had it, and they had renamed it the Delhi. They sold it to the Indians, and it renamed it the Delhi, HMS Delhi. And it was a superb. So it was a superb, or a Sheffield, I can't remember now, long time ago. And the three of us in line when they supposed to decide to go off to Spain. All at action stations and one thing and another. They'd done it all in the early hours of the morning, though. We left Malta, used to leave Malta when the sun was just coming up. And they never give us a drink, you know, none of them. Never give us a drink or nothing. Mean buggers. And if you ever see that film, I was in it.
You were in the ship. Could you actually see you?
No.
Before that, had you gone to Norway, did you say?
Well, before when the ship worked up, you went to see, they'd done what they used to call shoots, like when she got made seaworthy and everything. And we used to go and fire the guns on the gunnery range, wherever it was, and at practice targets and that, and things like that. And eventually, we ended up. But Norway. So, now I think the only reason why we went back there, because she was up there during the war. The Jamaica. And we went to Tromso. Trondheim and Tromso and Oltenfold, where the Tirpitz was lying. She was still down there. The Yalova was still there. They took the propellers off, I think, the Norwegians. But she was still there. And they was working on the Yalova. I don't know what they was doing, but they was taking bits out of her. But the RAF bombed, didn't they? They sunk that. And went from Oltenfold, Tromso, Trondheim, Oltenfold. What was that other place called? Jesus, I can't remember. We went down to Copenhagen then, I can remember. We went from Copenhagen through the Kiel Canal down to Kiel. Cool, that was a marvellous canal. It was as straight as a die. That's where the Germans used to come out through that Kiel Canal. All the battleships and everything. It was a marvellous canal, that one. When you're going along, you're looking down at the houses, all the gardens in the houses and that. It was a bit, you were up in the air, like as we sailed down it. It's as straight as a dot, like that is. And we steamed down there, and we went to Kiel, and then I went to Antwerp. And then, I think that was the last port of call, was Antwerp. Up Skagerrak, up to Antwerp, and then come back to Falmouth. So, now we're going home now, back to Chatham.
Nah. So where'd you go next then? That's when you went to Med, was it?
Went out to Med. Didn't even get a chance to say, you didn't want to go or nothing. You went. Had a long time of getting round to Chatham. Then we got ETA. estimated time of arrival, Gibraltar, at such and such a date. Blackin' hell, we're doing under Gibraltar. Oh, dear, everything was let loose. They just said, I went out there for another 2 years out of mid. Jesus Christ, that's what they were like in them days.
So what was it? Where were you based at in the Med?
In Malta.
And what was it like?
Oh, great. Oh, I like Malta, actually. I went back there for holiday one time with my old missus when she was alive. And I went back there on a merchant ship.
What were you doing in the Med? I mean, you said you did the filming, but what else were you doing? What was the ship doing?
That's what I can't understand. Why we got sent out there? They never tell you nothing in them days. They never told you a thing. All we done was visit all sorts of ports like Alexandria, Beirut, Italy, Naples, San Remo, Istanbul in Turkey. We went through the Dardanelles.
And what were all these visits like?
I was all right, but I didn't go. See, it's hard to explain to you. I've been to so many places by then, I wasn't interested. All the young'uns was. I just see it, I looked ashore and I see it, I said, oh great. Do you want to go see it? They was all diving ashore, all the young'uns, I didn't want to know. And, same as Norway, and that was up there. Copenhagen was the best place I went to round there. Oh, that was a nice place, that was. Copenhagen.
That was earlier?
Yeah, that was earlier.
Now, so what happened next? Anything happened while you were out there, other than the filming for 2 years in the Med? It was just a lot of visits, was it?
Just visits. No, I was in the bosun's party all the time I was out there.
Now tell me about your duties in the bosun's party.
Well, I had to spice all the wires and ropes and... Then I got the bums rush out of there and...
Why?
Well, I've been in it too long, so you always used to get a change.
So what did you change to?
I went back part of ship. And then when I went back part of ship... I was made board jumper.
What's that? Tell us what that is.
Well, when you went into Malta or anywhere and there was boys where you tied up to, I went and jumped on a boy and grabbed the rope or the cable and put it on the boy. Boy, then I mean I've done what 7 odd years or more.
Wasn't that dangerous?
Yeah. If you come off.
Did you ever fall off?
No. I always wore a life jacket anyway. And you always got a top board jumper.
A top what?
Got a top.
Oh, a drink, a rum.
Yeah, you always got a top. I think that's why I've done the job. I can't remember that.
I mean, was a boy? I mean, so you just jump down. How big was the were these boys?
Oh, bloody massive, big as this room, bam.
So 10 feet, 15 feet square, sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, some of them were smaller, some of them were big, some. And you'd have the wires already on there, and all you had to do was pass a wire through where it's called with a clip on. Take you up to the ship. Once they had it on there and they used to take the weight up onto the ship, I used to cut through the rope and let it go. And then the ship would pull it inboard. That's when it was dangerous because the boy used to be at that angle. I mean, you've got a great big thing like that at that angle, and suddenly...
Well, 45 degrees, yeah.
It went down. Well, hold on there. I mean, you couldn't put your hands nowhere because you had nothing to hold on to. You've worked it all out. You've done it easy enough.